Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
Real quick, the obvious thing was this was the least amount of minutes we've seen from Jabari this season. Has he fallen out of favor as far as the rotation's concerned? I mean, that's the talk, or was it a matchup thing tonight?
Well, I think it's a matchup thing. I also think that, you know, it's hard to play three fours. It's very difficult to do that. And so we played him some minutes at three, and didn't think that was the way to go the rest of the game. So, you know, this team is not about one person, one matchup, one situation. It's about the team. And you play your minutes when you're in there, and when you're not, we hope you support the other guys that are. So, you know, we got a lot of games left, and we're going to need all our people as we go forward.
Middays on the Score.
That sounds like a threat from Jim Boylan. A lot of games left, and it's kind of a mealy-mouthed description of what you're doing with Jabari Parker. Just own it. The report's already out there that he's out of the rotation. You had to play him because Hutchinson was hurt.
So, sick, yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know if you got the
one of those things.
Mexican illness of some kind, because there were apparently a couple of PR guys and
under the weather.
Pete Myers, yeah, the little stomach virus going around.
Is that Montezuma's Revenge?
That's what it had been called, depending on how you get it, I guess. I had a fabulous time in Mexico
City. Never been.
Great time.
We loved it. Why were you in Mexico City?
There was a CBA team, the Mexico City Aztecas.
Oh, that was the one that it was the Russian team that never actually materialized.
That was the Global Basketball Association.
My mistake.
The team, it didn't appear that they said it was going to be a global league. It just kind of never was. Got to, you know, Fayetteville, North Carolina.
That's a fine town.
Really, yeah. Oh, no, it's not. Oh, it's a hellhole. But the Mexico City Aztecas were there. They played in Palacio de los Deportes. And their center was Scott Paddock of Chicagoland Speedway.
Yeah. Always good to have Scott in the studio and hang out a little bit. You guys told some good stories, too. We should get some of those on air. We'd have to edit a lot of it.
And they had Joe Courtney, the former Bull. It was a Bull second-round pick, I believe, out of Southern Miss. And he was a power forward. And that was the guy, our coach, right before the game. He said, "Who wants to go punch him in the neck?" Like, what? He goes, "You do that, you won't hear from him the rest of the game. That guy's softer than tissue paper." It was just great. So somebody did. Went out.
Somebody's going to punch him in the neck.
Just took a tag, just shoved him. You know, he went and just threw him on the floor. And that was it. Won the
didn't
game.
Hear from the rest
won the
of the
game
night.
Going away. Did, yep. Yeah, wasn't interested in playing the rest of the night. Nice guy, though. But just he was absolutely right. And we stayed at this little tiny hotel that had the best food you've ever had in your life. There was one guy, there's this little Mexican man in the back of the hotel cooking up. Everything he made was phenomenal. Wow. I wanted to put him in my suitcase and bring him home with me.
That's legal.
And have him cook for me.
On a number of levels.
I know. I'm just saying what I wanted to. They told me I couldn't.
Somebody needed to.
I asked, and they told me. And I'll never forget it. Our coach, you know, this coach whose parents emigrated from Italy, he comes running up to me in the lobby and goes, "You got to try this." He goes, "This guy makes a bolognese sauce that's better than my mom's."
Stop yelling.
Right? No, he's so excited. "This is the best bolognese sauce I've ever had."
Coach, settle down. It's 8:30 in the morning.
He was so excited over the bolognese sauce. He couldn't believe it. He goes, "I'm not kidding. It's better than my mother's." Like, all right, I'll try it. But no, the Bulls not having all that much fun in Mexico City. And Jabari Parker, if you're just joining us, he's benched.
Yeah, he's out of the rotation. Malik Andrews had the report just before the game. What did that come out? Like 8 o'clock, something like that, Rick? I remember we were on Twitter looking
around.
It
was like a half hour before tip.
Half hour before tip. And some questions were asked afterwards. And it was just the way he responded to it was, don't coaches get briefed on what's likely going to be asked
apparently
before
not.
Press conferences? I know that they do. It's a rhetorical question. I know that they do. So for him to answer it that way is kind of curious. And for him to answer it that way, I don't know. I know the report went on to say that a buyout at this point was unlikely, but I think you probably have to start thinking about it. I mean, it's tough to play three fours, but you signed him to do that.
To play the 3-4's defense.
For $20 million a year. You signed what was already going to be in the best version of this team, in like an alternate universe where Markkanen doesn't get hurt, Chris Dunn's knee is fine, Denzel's good to go, like in the best possible outcome to start the season where everybody's healthy, he's still a clunky fit offensively. To say nothing of the fact that he's not interested in playing defense, we asked, he told us, he's just not that interested in playing defense. So you gave Fred Hoiberg, an offensive-minded head coach, a clunky fit and told him, best of luck, go get this done. Then you realized that that wasn't working and you couldn't have the habits infect the core as they returned from the injury list. You wanted to switch to a more intensive defensive coach, which, oh, you did.
Oh,
you found intense.
You got it. It's like Shane is coaching them.
Screaming at him. In wearing
his comfy pajamas.
Over and over, screaming at him. And then, because Boylan has repeatedly said, I've got the backing of management. I've got the backing of ownership. I'm doing this because this is what Greg Popovich has done. I'm doing this because I'm supposed to. This is what I was tasked to do. Parker's benching, whether it's a coaching decision, whether it's a decision from PAX, it almost doesn't matter where it comes from. It's coming from everyone. It's an acknowledgement that this was wrong to begin with.
Did you hear Charles Barkley last night talking about the Bulls' overall situation?
Heard of it, didn't hear him say it.
It's worth a listen. And I don't know how he gets all of his information, but there's some, see if something stands out to you here. This is chuckles on the Bulls.
Let's look at that team. There's nobody on that team who's a made man. Mm. And for them guys to think that they can boycott an NBA practice after they lose by 60 points, they need to have a serious meeting. And the coaches and the Paxson brothers, they say, hey, you guys ain't that good. They don't have one guy on the team. Now, I love Lauri Markkanen. I think he got a bright future. But there's nobody, him included, on that team who I would say is a made man. And, come on, it's ridiculous.
No, and that, to that point, one of the things that Zach LaVine said when, see, they formed this leadership committee now, which is going to be made up of some players who, if they have a problem, they take it to the coach rather than all this stuff happening. But he said, you know what we don't have is a guy like Kevin Garnett on this team.
Hmm. What did he mean by that?
Well, meaning a vet, a guy who's been around, who is a voice that everybody listens to.
When I was in Minnesota the last year, the reason I went there thinking that I was going to be in management after basketball is that I wanted to understand the players that, you know, obviously that of the future. And one of the things I took away from is these players are coming from entitled situations. And our times when we play, and it's yesteryear, okay? Times when we play, we work, we practice. If you go to these teams now, a lot of these teams don't practice no more, Chuck. A lot of these kids have never practiced after a back-to-back. So they don't know what that's like. A lot of these kids have never did 4 and 5. So, you know, the league is changing, and this is what it's changing into so much to where my last year in Minnesota when guys felt a certain way about player association meetings or stuff that we had to do, and they were fatigued and we were tired, we would all get together, talk about it, and then I would take it to Sam, take it to management, and then we would get a resolution from it or something. At the end of the day, I felt like I had the confidence to go in here and speak to Sam. Not only that, but I had the relationship to come here and speak to a coach. These players don't talk to each other. The communication right here, everything's done through a phone.
Kevin Garnett, who was in for Shaquille O'Neal last night on TNT, and Charles Barkley. Anything catch your ear there specifically?
Yeah, I mean, I know where you're going to head with this, but to me, it's this. The implication that these guys can't handle the practice load or don't want to handle the, a 2.5-hour practice session when they're playing 3 and 4 nights after a back-to-back, all that stuff. What would you rather have here? Would you rather have a coach who understands the way things are in the league, a front office who understands the way things are in the league, or one that harkens back to times gone by, one that is trying to bring back the old school in a league that is powering through what was left of the way the NBA used to be?
Great question.
And understanding really, really well how the league works now.
Great question. Well asked. I thought that Kevin Garnett, you could, in his tone, he almost sounded like these kids today. But he's also telling you, this is how it is. He is also saying,
absolutely,
you know, that he's aware that they're all ridiculously wealthy. Every rookie, every bum, everybody's got, you know, incredible amounts of marketing money and their contract and everything else.
The guy they're going to sit on the bench is going to make 20 mil.
It is different now. And I think Garnett is trying to say, look, say what you want, Charles. These players don't look at things in the same way that we used, that you used to, that I used to. I also think there's some wistfulness. I do hear it in him that he's lamenting the fact that it used to be different.
I got no problem with that. We do the same thing with the NFL and quarterback rules. I got no problem with wistful. I got no problem with nostalgic, for that matter.
But the question is, you can't turn back the clock.
No.
You can't force everybody just because when you played, things were different. And what caught my ear was Paxson Brothers.
That was Barkley at the beginning
of
things, right?
Said the Paxson Brothers. Jim Paxson is in the Bulls front office and has been a general manager before of the Trailblazers, and it has been in other capacities as a longtime front office guy. But that is the first time I've heard somebody on a national level that casually refer to them as a power axis of some kind.
He is the director of pro personnel, correct? That is the title he holds in the front office now. Yeah, I don't know. It is the first time I've heard that kind of power structure invoked, I guess, by anybody outside the local scene.
You don't think that's just not being able to think of Gar Forman's name?
It's entirely possible.
Could be with him. You never know with Charles. But
it's entirely possible.
There may, and with Doug Collins there, too, there may be just, there's a lot of old school. There's a lot of former player, a lot of former star player there.
It makes it harder, though, because their decisions, you know, to sign Zach LaVine, to match that offer given to him, to make the Jimmy Butler trade and get the return that they did, to draft Markkanen, for that matter. I mean, there are some pretty – Carter, there are some decent decisions in the last little bit. It's just that – when you make decisions that operate in terms of the modern NBA and then want to run those decisions through the grinder of 10, 15, 20 years ago, that's where you get fights. That's where you get teams who only talk via text, if that's bad or good, and then try and start a mutiny.
This segment is brought to you by Spot Hero. Finally, here's a way you can save time parking. Use Spot Hero anytime you park. First-time users can enter promo code SMART for $10 off. Spot Hero, park smarter. During transition, I was mentioning in Appleton, Wisconsin, do sort of Bears-Packers memories. A lot of my memories are covering the team and with Lambeau Field and everything else. And I had mentioned that bar in Appleton where there was the guy who kept playing the David Allen Coe song over and over.
If it's got the good cheese curds and the cheap beer, that's probably the wooden nickel.
Good cheese curds, cheap beer, and probably unquestionable Wisconsin-ness about it.
Oh, that's definitely the wooden nickel.
No pretension whatsoever. And I found the song. Some people were suggesting it had to be this song, it had to be that song. It's not Take This Job and Shove It.
It's not That Ain't Country?
That Ain't Country, or If It Ain't Country.
If It Ain't Country.
It's Long-Haired Redneck.
Oh, okay.
Is the name of the song.
Well, I had just been agonizing over that.
David Allen Coe's Long-Haired Redneck, and this guy would play it over and over and over again and just sit at a table by himself and drink and scowl. Something bad had happened to him.
You don't think he was doing a bit like a John Mulaney bit where he plays What's New Pussycat over and over again at the Salt and Pepper Diner?
No, I don't think he was doing a bit.
Okay.
It would be... If he were...
A sadness bit?
Yeah, it would be an unbelievably well-acted bit on his part because of the way this guy was behaving and the look that he had going.
The Fine Arts Center is just down the street. Could have been a guy doing a method acting.
Maybe
or
he was making a point about having some of the Chicago media in the bar is trying to scare people out. I don't know. It's possible that was bothering him. And I know, having been at Lambeau Field... The old pre-redesign Lambeau, before in the post-game, before going in to talk to the coach, we were kept in a pen, in a chain-link fenced-in outdoor pen, and the Packer fans would lob empty bottles at us.
An actual chain link fence pen.
Yep, that was outside this little like Quonset hut.
And you voluntarily walked in there?
You had no choice.
You had to.
That's where you had to go to wait for, and then this steel door would open, and you would walk into and stand on a linoleum floor, and the coach was on like just a little box riser that's maybe 6 inches off the ground.
Did all of the press have to go into that pen?
Visiting.
Just visiting
that,
press?
That was the visiting – whoever wanted to interview the visiting head coach before the locker room opened, you had to wait outside in the elements, and then they'd spit on you and they'd throw bottles at you.
They do hate Bears fans.
It was
– Bears press apparently too.
Yeah, I don't know if they still do that, but that was – it was something. And I was like, really? And the women in the blaze orange screaming at you.
Well, everybody's in blaze orange. Yeah, that's just because that's what they wore that morning.
But that – indeed, that was the name of the song. And I, truth be told, I kind of like David Allan Coe.
It's kind of that angry country,
I mean,
he's got a couple of ballads to him, I'm sure.
I have a soft spot for genuine outlaw stuff like that.
When was he making his good stuff? Like
actual
mid-70s?
Yeah, mid to late 70s.
Okay.
Like actual don't give a crap stuff. I mean, I know he's a horrible racist and all that. And like,
oh, yeah?
He's got songs with the N-word in him.
That's probably
doesn't
good.
He? And not like N.W.A.
I mean, no, yeah, that's a different, yeah.
But there was something about some of those musicians that always, that they're the unapologetic,
alluring to it.
Genuine outlaw stuff. Yeah, there was like a real danger to it.
Oh, I shouldn't be listening to this.
Right.
Like yeah,
right. There was something
This is absolutely wrong. Let's see what the next track is.
And I'm the same guy that likes Zach Brown Band. And
yeah, but at least they're phenomenally talented musicians.
I know they are. That's why I like them.
An easy defense there if you have to.
I didn't intend to like them. I just kind of did. Oh, by the way, we have a musical treat coming up later in the show.
That's right.
A rediscovered, unearthed Christmas miracle.
Yeah, we took the dust off this thing. Rick ran it through the high def.
It was sort of making the rounds again. I had never seen it before. If you liked Joseph Spence, you're going to love this.
And who didn't?
We have a Score Christmas musical treat coming up a little bit later. And all these giveaways here. As far as a musical treat, if you're a fan of the Grateful Dead, Dead and Company, they're coming to Wrigley Field, Dead and Company, on June 14th, and we've got some tickets for you at some point between now and 1 o'clock. Not Noodles and Company.
No.
That's different.
No, it's a wonderful lunch, but this is different.
That's another Christmas movie that never got
it's
off
a
the
wonderful
ground.
Lunch.
Yeah, it's not quite as inspiring as it's
a
wonderful
nice sandwich.
Lunch. Right. It's a really good sandwich. It's
every not time a, you eat a pastrami, an angel gets its wings.
He's Connor McKnight. I'm Dan Bernstein, and you have the score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Loudmouth in the corner's getting to me. Talking about my earrings and my hair.
What?
I guess he ain't read the signs that say I've been to prison. Someone ought to warn him before I knock him off his chair.
What?
Long hair just can't cover up my redneck.
That's it.
Yikes.
Yep.
Apparently, texters have let us know that David Allan Coe is a virulent racist.
A virulent racist.
A horrible
you're gonna be a racist
human being.
You might as well be a virulent racist.
I don't know about that. I get your tendency to hit the extremes if you're going to be weird, but that's probably not a good thing.
When I think of the Packers and I think of my Bears-Packers experiences, I think of that. Now, you say the bar is called the Wooden Nickel?
Probably the Wooden Nickel, although now hearing that – well, what year are we talking? Because this was that
oh,
song
boy.
Came out
Winter
something like 76.
This was 90. Was this 96?
96. Okay, so we would not have been in a bar together.
96 or 97.
I think we just about moved up there.
You were what?
96, 11.
You're 11, yeah.
96, 11. Well,
there's kids in bars in Wisconsin, though.
If you could see over the bar, you're allowed to be in there.
There's kids in bars in Wisconsin.
No, yes. That's you could be 18 and serve alcohol in Wisconsin. At least that's how it was when I was serving alcohol at 18 in Wisconsin. Now, the I would imagine it's the Wooden Nickel.
Okay.
I bet that's it.
Line and Kugel and cheese curds, and I'm a happy man.
That's,
I really.
Well, I mean, that's the recipe at any.
It doesn't either. Take much for me because I love Wisconsin and I spend a lot of time driving.
It's a fine place.
Around
they
there.
Hate you.
It's so, okay.
Anyone they hate anyone from Illinois. They just do.
I know, but I like if I drive by.
High school was a trip.
If it's like if it's 5:30 and there is a VFW hall. That's and it says,
"Oh man,
bluegill fry."
Yeah, that's what people don't realize. It's like the Knights of Columbus and the VFW fish fries up there are out of this world.
And I'll stop. And I will go in just to see if there's a place that just looks good and you can, you know, that there's like old calendars in there and they have like an oven that's designed only to cook a Tombstone pizza properly. You know what I mean? Like the designated specific like branded Tombstone pizza oven behind the bar and it's perfect every time.
There's a spot on Lincoln that just opened up. It's supposed to be it's like by the Biograph it's a Wisconsin supper clubby kind of thing. I walked it, my friends dragged me in there, and it smells exactly like it's supposed to smell.
They got it right?
They got the smell right. It's great.
Really?
Yeah, they got the smell right. And hams everywhere. On tap, baby.
People in Wisconsin also throw Connor in garbage cans, too.
It was a dumpster show, and I got out.
What? Scoreboard update.
It's a real story.
That's true.
I want to hear this.
Okay.
They threw you in a dumpster?
Yeah. Got out.
Okay.
Four? Didn't have to do with Bears-Packers week? No?
No, it absolutely did. Yeah, it absolutely did. I had worn my jeans days at the Catholic school I went to. I didn't know it, but they were actually green and gold days. They called them jeans days, but everybody just showed up with their Brett Favre jerseys. I didn't know that. I showed up in a Peyton jersey. Things did not end
well.
Things did not end well. It's all right. Zach Hogan and I are friends now. It's cool.
Some folk won't ever raise gun, but then again, some folk pull like Cletus, the slack-jawed yokel.
Hey, what's going on this side?
Our Friday is going so weird right now.
I think Rick is trolling Packer fans now.
Our Friday has just gone really weird. How much of the Thursday nighter with the Chargers and Chiefs were you able to watch? I know you had family stuff.
I did. I had my daughter's choir performance.
Everything
at,
go well?
At Lincoln Park High School. They were great.
Yeah.
They were really good. They did five songs in five different languages.
What?
It was very impressive for all these kids. It was French, Hebrew, Old Scottish, English, and one more that I'm forgetting.
Was the Old
Spanish.
Scottish just screaming?
No, they actually did a version, a multi-harmony version of the classic Auld Lang Syne.
Oh.
But done fully, like all the lyrics in the Old Scottish in a way that I hadn't heard.
So this song, it probably gets a little racist.
Right,
don't do the fifth verse. Right. Don't do. We'll be doing Auld Lang Syne. Please do not read the fifth verse.
The verse real bad.
It gets real ugly. The sentiment is good. It's just at the time you have to realize what was going on.
No, so I did that because it was nice to have the Bulls game tip later. Everything worked out well. It was perfect. Usually I don't like an 8:30 tip, but this was fine. I did actually end up hearing the first part of our radio broadcast on the Score with Chuck Swirsky and Bill Weddington broadcasting into a cell phone.
It was innovative.
Yeah, brilliant.
That was innovative.
It was avant-garde, I thought, they did that.
I once did a pregame show from a cell phone because we had to, but that's as close as the actual game broadcast.
I've called a game through a phone, an entire game.
Yeah.
I had no choice.
You would have had a hard line at the time, so that would have said
No. I told you the story about when the Memphis Hotshots moved and didn't tell anybody and became the Pensacola Hotshots.
Yes.
That was that game.
Yes.
That's where Dana Kirk, the crazy coach, was in the bar drunk. When we got there, the other team's coach is in our hotel at the bar drunk.
Par for the course.
And we showed up that night, and I said, well, where's the visiting broadcast? The what? Do what? Who now? And,
it's in a cage.
The visiting broadcast. Visiting radio. Where do I set up? Oh, I don't know nothing about that. Nobody told me nothing about no broadcast. I'm like, well, all right, great. So I had all the equipment, nothing to do. So I sat there at a desk phone and called the game.
I've done that for a freelance chance for college football.
Really?
Yeah. Bluetooth didn't work.
Okay.
It was going to be by cell phone anyway. It was real, low operation here.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bluetooth crapped out on me. So I had to do it with like one arm on the table.
Yeah.
I've got basically my sheet on the other side, trying to do everything with just the one hand.
The show must go on.
Hell yes.
And I give Swirsk and Bill a ton of credit.
Tons of props.
And actually, believe it or not, Rich Wyatt of The Score was actually down in Mexico doing that. Apparently, the Magic radio broadcast never got on the air.
Wow.
At all.
Just weren't. I think they had the Stacey and Neil mentioned the Wi-Fi had gone down in the studios, stadium. So I assume that had something to do with it.
I don't know if it did or not. I just know that it says something about the job that Rich did. And it also says something about why you travel an engineer if you can. Rather. to make sure that that guy knows what's back on the other end and can get you on the air.
Worth telling a couple of stations.
Rich also had the Apple
advice.
Cart, though.
Oh, well, right. The Apple Cart didn't broke down. He took it all the way. He rode the Apple Cart all the way to Mexico City.
You said it done broke down. And I was like, what is this music doing to you today?
It all done broke down on him.
What struck me, and I know we got to get to Pete Futek in just a couple of minutes here. What struck me, and we'll get to it later, I guess. What struck me about the Chiefs and Chargers wasn't the two-point conversion at the end or just where things are headed in the AFC as you keep an eye on the other half of the league with the Super Bowl hopes real and tangible for the Bears. It's just how hurt everybody was in that game and how it kind at times you could tell, but there were also real points put up by those offenses despite missing some of the big-time playmakers.
I don't know about that call at the end, too, because I think—
Going for two?
No, I mean the pass interference penalty.
Yeah.
I think by the letter of the law, that's pass interference. I also think you can't throw that flag. Does that make any sense?
Yeah. I just, I'm a strict constructionist.
I know
you are. It's the letter of the law.
It is. It probably was pass interference. I don't really think it interfered with him, his opportunity to catch the ball, however.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I see it like, oh, man, that sucks.
I mean, I know it wasn't the case here, but uncatchable should be called more often in PI calls. But I understand that the NFL wants yards downfield and all that stuff. More football to talk with Pete Futek of College Football News. We'll get crazy with Pete in just a couple here. Bernstein and McKnight, 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. Pete Futek.
Great, with a capital G, the highest level of grade.
Publisher of College Football News.
What is it that makes our military superior? He was like, that's easy. We're the only football playing nation in the world.
He hates your favorite team.
Rankings don't matter at the end because they're just going to put Alabama in the college football playoff anyway.
Pete Futek with Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
Pete Futek is brought to you by Bet Chicago. For betting and fantasy football coverage, download the app today and bet for free. He is College Football News. He is on Twitter at Pete Futek. Pete, hello. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. Happy bowl season to everybody.
It is bowl season, and how do you keep yourself interested in pretending to enjoy these minor bowl games?
It's hard, and it's weird because this year more than ever, there's starting to be that shift where everyone's recognizing, wait a minute, these really are exhibitions. And they've always kind of been, but before, it took a few years to get to this point. But in the old bowl and poll days, your final ranking mattered because of what you would do in the bowl games. But now because of the emphasis on the college football playoff, because everyone's so dissatisfied with what happened, because people are still talking about the Heisman race for the first time in a couple years, and because everyone is talking about 18 playoff, the idea of getting all jacked up for your RNL Carriers New Orleans Bowl tomorrow, just isn't quite there. So because these aren't scintillating matchups, and again, these are exhibitions at this point.
Is that part of, well, the UCF thing is part of it, but is the exhibition factor part of why the voices that have chimed in on the 18 playoff over the last week or so, the big voices that we've heard from? Are you surprised at all to hear kind of the heft that's been given to it?
I think Georgia not being in really kind of offended the sensibilities of the Barry Alvarezes and of the world. And so it's that sort of did, not having a Big Ten champion in it for a third year in a row, because now look at what happened. I mean, everyone's saying the exact same thing. You can't leave out Notre Dame and Oklahoma. However, Georgia's probably the third best team in college football, and they did actually show it on the field by almost beating Alabama. And Ohio State, okay, they had their flaws, but really, talent-wise, if you were to put a lot of these coaches under a lie detector and say, who do you not want to face in a one-game shot, you don't want to deal with Dwayne Haskins in this offense. So I think that it just sort of hit a tipping point, and UCF is part of it. It's okay. Yeah, fine. We'll throw them in, let them have their tartar sauce, let them get in here and they'll get blown out by an Alabama or someone like that. But I do think Georgia not getting in and Ohio State getting in, the first time we've had in the college football playoff era, a 12-team Power 5 champion, especially Ohio State, especially the Big Ten champion, not getting in it. I think that became the tipping point.
I think I was expecting you to also maybe address it from the team perspective of how you approach it. When, if you are, say, you're 7-5, and it may be in your best interest as a program to use this time to look at next year You know, how many coaches are going to go gangbusters? Like, we're going to do everything we could possibly do to win this game. Where another coach say, you know what? This is almost free practice time that we can devote to having a better chance to being a better, more meaningful team next year.
I have always argued this point, and you're never going to hear it because you can't do it, because coaches are going to want to reward their seniors. They're going to want to, like, say, this is a moment we're going to, you don't want to tank this game because of it.
I'm not saying tank the game. I'm not. I'm just saying be reasonable about how you use the time.
I don't play the fifth-year senior quarterback, and I put out the freshmen and sophomores to see what they can do. It's 15 extra practices. There's just no point for next year, and that's what the practices really are for. The games, it's almost like the Senior Bowl philosophy, where the game's just sort of the exhibition and the practices are what matter. This is where you start to play up those freshmen and sophomores and practices a little more and see what they can do going forward.
Yeah, at Ohio State, can Ryan Day keep Dwayne Haskins there on campus? And how much does it matter whether he can or not?
Tate Martell's a pretty good option. I mean, it's Ohio State. I mean, they're going to have a superstar caliber quarterback coming in. And Martell actually kind of fits, you know, all the arguments this year. Well, those 470 yards you're throwing for are cute and all, but we wish you did a little more RPO. We wish you ran a little more. Well, that's what Martell is, and that kind of fits the style of what Urban Meyer was trying to put together and what Ryan Day is going to want to do. There's no chance. Haskins has got to be gone. Okay. I mean, he's going to be now. If he has a decent, and this is kind of the argument with, okay, who should play in the bowl games and who shouldn't? Well, if you're Dwayne Haskins and you are pretty much now a lock to be a top 15 overall draft pick, however, if you rock it against Washington, you're probably the top 3 draft pick.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's all there. So this is a stock-upping moment for a guy like him, because he is definitely the first quarterback off the board at this point if he decides to come out early. At least that's where the buzz seems to be.
Who else has skin in the game in some of these bowl games? Individual players. Haskins, like you said, can rocket up the list. Who else is there?
Yeah, okay, let me take it the other way and go to your guy. I'm all for these guys sitting out the bowl games.
No doubt.
They should, except if, like you're, say, a Justice Hill, the Oklahoma State running back, where you're kind of just a guy who's destined to be part of the morass of running backs in a Seattle or your Philadelphia. You could be a third rounder or a fifth rounder, and a big performance might have helped you. Will Greer, I don't get. If he's either freaked out by what happened to Mackenzie Milton and Alex Smith. But we know how this works. I mean, the NFL draft guys are humans. I mean, they all fall for the shiny objects. The be-all, end-all has been always Vince Young, where he went from a really, dude, you're going to come out early, to, wow, we got to have this guy after what he did against USC in that Rose Bowl.
Right.
If you're Greer, you're not a first-rounder. You know, you are maybe, in the Mason Rudolph area of last year, where you're going to be someone's guy, maybe not a franchise guy, but you're a top 50 part of this whole puzzle. But if you go out there and just come out and just rip it up in your bowl game and destroy Syracuse, which you would probably do, that's like a free 400-yard game for him, then we know how this works. Your stock gets upped a little bit. So for guys like that, I think they should have stayed. Everyone else, if you're a top 25 caliber pick, yeah, absolutely sit out this thing.
I heard Tom Silverstein of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel on earlier with Mully and Hall while I was driving in, the longtime Packers beat guy. And he believes that it's almost a certainty that Mark Murphy is going to interview Pat Fitzgerald at the very least for the Packers job. Mark Murphy was the AD or the president at Northwestern who originally hired him there. They're close friends, and I, for the life of me, I can't imagine a better job in sports, a better job in coaching, in college or pro, than being Pat Fitzgerald, that man at Northwestern, with that program where it is, with your boss who it is, with expectations what they are. But do you know anything that would suggest that he's got that kind of burning ambition to do more than what he's doing? Have you heard that?
If he's had it, he's never really let it out. And it's I don't get this from any angle and any side, because to your direct point, you're right. He's in a great gig now. The only reason he might want to move is because he's a coach, and all coaches want to be in the highest of high levels. Even if you're Nick Saban, this is amazing, but you're not Bill Belichick. The NFL is still the NFL. It's still a whole different ballgame. It's still the professional. It's still the higher level. The other thing about Fitzgerald is there might be two sides of this, where on the one side, he's like, I kind of maxed out here. You know, look, there's a reason why Northwestern was in the Big Ten championship. It's because the rest of the Big Ten West sucked. You know, if this is not going to happen, Nebraska's going to be a thing very, very quickly. Wisconsin's not going to have that year again. You know, you're not going to have the year where Iowa is just sort of, you know, strange, but they're always going to be 8-4. You know, Illinois might luck into something someday. I mean, you're never going to have this whole big thing that happens again where they get to a Big Ten championship, unless you're thinking, on the flip side, if you're Fitzgerald, I've busted my tail so hard to get to this point. Now look at what he's got to sell. He's got the facilities that are as interesting and as beautiful as any in college football. He showed, yes, we can go to a Big Ten championship. He's got a franchise-caliber quarterback. This Clemson transfer, Hunter Johnson's better than probably anything. He's better than Clayton Thorson. He is a better talent. He's going to be around for the next few years. This is where everything has come together at once to sell Northwestern. And on the other side, I don't know if you're Green Bay, what the appeal is for Pat Fitzgerald, because the appeal of Pat Fitzgerald is that he's the most genuine, sincere, true-blooded Northwestern guy out there, and it comes across. That's what he sells. I don't know if he's necessarily a Lincoln Riley type when it comes to this is my scheme and he's doing anything that's really moving the needle in that way. He is a success because he is so genuine in his belief in Northwestern football. I don't know if that translates to another job like it does at Northwestern.
Other than Lincoln Riley, Fitz, and Nick Saban, what other questions, what other things on the coaching carousel set to resolve itself in a couple of weeks here, or set to really start in a couple of weeks, would surprise you after the bowl game?
I don't know what surprised me. I'm waiting for Jeff Brohm. I keep thinking there's a reason why he turned down Louisville, and Louisville people are angry at me for saying, you're not big enough. It's not you, it's him. There's a reason why he's staying at Purdue. I do think the same, a little bit like Fitzgerald, I think he likes the Purdue atmosphere and that he settled in a little bit there to a point. But I thought that if USC was going to open up, that would have been a place that would have at least come calling. There is some scuttlebutt out there. Like if the Jaguar job opens up, you know, I think he's an NFL guy eventually. There's a guy who does have the pro sensibilities and the offense and the scheme and the youth. And kind of, I don't want to say Sean McVay type because that's putting him in a different kind of bucket, but he's kind of got the everything you want in a young, hip, hot NFL caliber coach. So that's the guy I kind of want to see in this whole coaching carousel where he goes. And the other thing I'm really waiting on seeing, I want to see what happens when the Bears season's over. Mark Helfrich is at some point going to be a hot, big-time head coaching guy again. But you can't obviously get into this right now. But the timing isn't right. At some point, I still think he's going to be a big time head coach somewhere, either at the college or pro level.
Pete, have a fabulous weekend. We appreciate it, man.
Anytime, guys. Have a good one.
That is Pete Futek. You got to listen very carefully for some of those deep cut Simpsons references that he will drop in there as well. We have the midway coming up. I know you don't like snakes.
I don't at all.
Where are you on worms?
I'm fine with worms.
Why are you fine with worms but not snakes?
If I could explain that, I wouldn't be weird about snakes to begin with.
Okay, what about a worm that looks like that?
That is creepy as hell, but less creepy than an actual snake.
Okay, what about it with that color?
Still good. Okay. Still good.
All right.
What I am hanging on.
Okay, what if I told you that worm is 42,000 years old?
I'm less good.
All right. I also have a bad day for a meditating monk, and I ask you, when is a robot not a robot?
We're going to talk about marriages that were never going to work out and something that you want to have under the Christmas tree for everyone, every good girl and every good boy.
And don't forget, not only do we have a Christmas musical surprise That's for right. you that is going to make your Friday and take you into the weekend nicely, but we also still have the pair of tickets for Dead & Company and Omaha Steaks Family Pack and a pair of tickets to the CBS Sports Classic if you're a college basketball fan.
The Midday Midway is next. It's Bernstein and McKnight, 670 The Score.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.